say it's a good crowd here on this Sunday morning. I appreciate those of you that sang this morning and your effort there and good singing and playing there this morning. A few visitors, you have to excuse us just a little bit this morning. We had some things on the agenda and they've just been kind of put on the back burner just a tad bit, and we're just kind of just making it through and honoring Christ. And I had a message this morning, and I was going to preach. I may do it some other time. And y'all know I've been on the Christmas story, been preaching three or four different passages of each week, the month of December, been preaching on Christmas and on this. And of course, today I'll do a little bit about that. But Brother Kenya, I pinned some things down last night. I don't know if I'd actually call it a message. I guess it is. It's a message from the Lord. It's not a sermon. There's a difference between a message and a sermon. Had a sermon prepared. The Lord, of course, had given you. But I like it when He gives you a message, and just, you know, He just kind of confirms in His heart, in my heart rather. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. We didn't run our buses today. We ran them yesterday, and I want to thank all the workers. We had a lot of kids here yesterday and had a birthday for Jesus party and had pizza and had six young people come to Christ. And what a blessing there. And then our college students are they're home. They're left. There's about 50 of them that are typically here. And then we have so many people that are out of town. I kept getting text after text, either sick or out of town. And so it's that time of the year. Christmas is just, you know, Wednesday, so folks get that the way it kind of fell on this past Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, rather. Some took a couple days extra off, and so they went out of town a little bit early, and we understand that. And so those of you that are here today, I appreciate you being here. And again, if you're visiting with us, there's a little card in the back of the seat, and if you don't mind filling that out, we'd love to connect with you. And again, today's a little different. It was supposed to be a little different. We just having a 10:30 service, and then we didn't have any classes today, and then we're having a 6 p.m. service tonight. If you can please make it back, it's always special, and we'll have a little extra singing tonight, and then I'll read the Christmas story to the children, and we have little things for them tonight, and so it's always a precious service. So moms and dads, try to get your kids back here. And it'll be good. Then Tuesday night, we'll have we're going to have the Lord's table. We'll honor that and observe that. And then we'll sing a few Christmas songs and come in here and just think about the Lord and worship Him for a few minutes. And we'll go. And, of course, Christmas Eve is a time a lot of families are together and busy. That'll be at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. And I don't want you to leave out Christ in Christmas. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning just on Jesus. Look at John chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 1. I love these passages. I don't quite understand them all. These are some of the greatest passages in all the Bible. You're not going to read any more verses, 18 verses, just jam-filled, packed with doctrine. And I love how the infinite became an infant, Jesus Christ. These opening verses of the gospel, I believe, is described as Christ's glorious incarnation. It is beautiful. It's deeply moving passage of Scripture, and I want us to read that. I believe the Lord is wanting to speak to us as a church today. Thousands of sermons have been preached from these verses through the years. I've preached from these before, not all together, but I've preached from a lot of them, and I still have not even begun to fully explain everything in these verses, not even the commentators. You think about Warren Wiersbe, and you think about H.A. Ironside and Oliver B. Green and different ones through the years. They are all great commentators, but even the greatest of commentators, even Spurgeon himself, could not put into words exactly what I believe the Word is speaking to us about and pulling out of everything. But I want you to notice, look at verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I can just stop right there. There's a lot to be said about just that verse. That in the beginning, I mean, before time was ever put into place, before the world was ever hung, and the moon and the sun and the stars, God was in existence. But here's what he's saying. It's the deity of Christ. He said, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to notice there's some things about this infinite Christ that we preach this morning. We notice that it's the start. It starts with the Word. And by the way, the Word is, I want you to look at it, it's capitalized. The Word is capitalized. It is a proper name. It is in reference to someone and not something. So it's referencing someone. I believe this is what Oliver Green said about this. He said the Word was personal. The Word was divine. Here is the very first of John's gospel. It is presented to the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. What He is in Himself, He is the Word. He is not here presented in a relative character. He is not presented as Christ, the head of the church, nor is Christ the high priest, both of which deal with His relationship to men on earth. John's gospel actually begins with the divine and eternal existence of the person, Jesus Christ, the eternal, the only begotten Son of God. It started with Him. It is Him now. It will forever be the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We often see this designated Word used of Christ in all the Bible. John chapter 1, we'll get to that verse in just a moment, but in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I want you to notice the Word, it's capitalized again in verse 14, and the Word here is none other than Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice His preexistence. He's the preexistent Word. He's a constant thing. Look at verse 1 again. Notice what the wording says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice the constant. He's not just yesterday, He's not just today, but He's also tomorrow. He's always been. He's a constant. Hey, it doesn't matter what you're going through today. We know there's some that are hurting. And by the way, it's not just Brother Tripp and the family. There's others sitting here today going through battle after battle after battle. And you face, hey, these last two or three weeks, just in my own personal life, has been some of the toughest places that we've ever been. But here's one thing that remains constant is the Word is true. And that His promises fail not. And His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. It's a constant. He's an ever-present help in the day of trouble. He's there when all your friends will walk out, when all of your acquaintances and all the people that you thought would be there during those struggles. Can I tell you, when everybody else walks out, that's when He's walking in. He is there. He's constant. Hey, He's also a communing God. Because it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now notice this. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's a communing God. He's a God that's not just some God that died years ago. We have to go to some tomb somewhere, and here it has his birth date, and it has the day of His death. We don't have to do that. Hey, we can go to a tomb, and we don't know maybe which tomb it was, but we know that there is a tomb over there, and in those tombs does not possess the body of our Lord. He's alive. He's a communing God. Hey, He's alive forevermore. And by the way, He gave us life that we can live more abundantly. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's a communing God. Hey, have you talked to Him? Have you spoken to Him? I like it when Tripp and I were in the office just a minute ago, and he said, "Preacher, I got up this morning and I talked to God. I spoke to Him. And He spoke to me." Tripp, I don't believe you'd be here today if it wasn't for God. Neither would you. Neither would I. If it wasn't for God, I don't know how this world makes it today. I don't know how they go and put enough. I don't know how they face the death of a loved one. I don't know how they face the death of a baby. I don't know how they face cancer. I don't know how they face sickness. But I know this, when we have God, we have a communing God. Amen. We can speak to Him. He is the Word. And how does He speak to us? Through the Word. This is Jesus on paper. Right here. The Bible. The Word. We see He's a communing God. He's a constant God. He's often a controversial God. Because notice this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, there's some people that say, hold on a second. Are you saying Jesus Christ is God? Absolutely. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. When God said, hey, He didn't search through heaven and look to see if there was anybody else that could die for the sins of the world. Hey, there was only one Lamb that was sufficient, and it was Jesus. And guess what? God said, I'll put myself in the form of a man, and He humbled Himself, Philippians chapter 2, and He came to this earth, and He died on that cross so that you and I could be free. Oh, yes, and it's controversial. Listen, if you deny that Jesus is God, friend, there's no way you can be saved. That's the deity of Christ. That is a Bible doctrine. Well, I just don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Hey, friend, there's a lot of cults out there that don't believe that either. My friend, you associate yourself with whatever. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. I can't explain everything. I'm not sure how to explain it all and have the right words and do all. There's eloquent speakers out there that Mike could put in, great Bible teachers that Mike could put it into words where you might would understand exactly what I'm trying to say. But I know this, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And that's all you need to know. Believe it by faith. Here's another thing we see about just this one passage is it's a create. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 of this text of John 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Again, we see God the Creator. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and you can find that in the beginning, God. It's amazing how both of these start out the same. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, starts out, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Skip down to verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We see this creative God. I believe when we walk outside and we look up into the heavens and we see the stars at night and we see the sun and the moon and we see all of God's creation, we can worship God in His creation. We can thank God for His creation. We can thank God. And by the way, you and I were made in the image of God. All of you are unique. All of you are made exactly the way that God designed it. He's the Creator. There's nothing that catches. Last night when we were riding together in the car to the hospital, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I had to remind myself and I had to remind this precious family that this did not catch God by surprise. God didn't just wake up and say, oh, I didn't understand. I didn't expect her to pass away. I didn't expect him to get cancer. I didn't expect that child to get sick. I didn't expect. No, nothing catches God by surprise. Notice that verse again. He's the ultimate supreme creator. In Him, in verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything. Nothing was made without Him. Made that was made. Nothing catches our God by surprise. Nothing exists without our God knowing it. Nothing happens that catches our God off guard. Nobody gets elected into the office of the presidency without God knowing it and allowing it. Hey, nobody rises up and threatens another country with war unless God knows it and allows it. You understand God is in control of all things. He's in control of your personal life, but He's also in control of everything that goes on. I had a man this past week say, preacher, what about this asteroid that's going to hit the earth in 2029? And I looked at him and said, I ain't heard nothing about it. But if there is one out there, God knows about it. I ain't worried about 2029. I'm worried about tomorrow. Amen. I ain't worried about 2029, man. I'm just wanting to get one day in front of the other and want one step in front of the other. But boy, if somebody was just a preacher, what do you think? Is this going to be the end of the world? Is this going to, I'm like, man, I don't know, but I know this. God already knows about it. He created the asteroid. He created the earth. He created all the planets. Even Pluto, by the way, is a planet. Amen. Don't you that deny Pluto is a planet, you need to go back to grade school. They've made it a planet. They've unplanted it. Then they made it a planet again. Never have understood that. Quit hating on Pluto. Let Pluto be a planet. Stop messing with it. Why? Because God created it. Well, it's too small to be a planet. Well, it's probably still bigger than we are. Hey, let God be God. Jesus is the pre-existent Word. But I want you to skip down to verse number 14. He's the personalized Word. He's not just the pre-existent Word. He's the personalized Word. Boy, I love this verse. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is it. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a verse. Man, I was reading Brother Kenya just a few days ago over in the book of Galatians. I don't know. I was reading over there in Galatians chapter number 4, I believe it was. And I read down there where Paul was teaching this church and wrote this letter to this church. I didn't even mark it really to preach it this morning. But listen to these verses over here in Galatians chapter 4. In verse number 4. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Here we go. He sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Amen. He sent forth. You know what God did? He gifted us Jesus. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth the Word. He said, there's no way this crowd down there can redeem themselves. There's no way that they can purchase themselves. There's no ox. There's no bullock. There's no pigeon. There's no dove. There's no lamb that would be sufficient. It had to be the blood of the Lamb. And He sent forth God's only Son. Boy, I thank God that He dwelt among us. He was the pre-existent Word, but He's the personalized Word. Notice that Word again in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Lived among us. And by the way, if you go over to Matthew chapter 1 and they say, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, you know what that means? God with us. God with us. Why did He give Him a name, Emmanuel, to remind us that it's God with us? And by the way, it ain't just, well, He ascended back into heaven 2,000 years ago and He's on the right hand of the Father and I know He's interceding for us, but guess what? He left us. He left us the Holy Spirit. The third part of the Trinity. But listen, can I tell you, it's not the third in rank. They're all co-equal. Amen? He left the Holy Spirit of God. What we feel this morning, what we're feeling in here today. You say, preacher, I'm going. But I tell you, if you've not experienced the grace of God, where does that come from? It comes from the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, yes, it's real. It's the personalized Word of God. He's real. He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you about that grace and truth this morning. We're experiencing some of that grace. And dwelt among us and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Simply put, the incarnation of God in human flesh. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, He was God in the flesh. Paul kind of gives us that idea, and you don't have to turn over there, but in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want you to understand this morning that Jesus' incarnation as a man did not in any way reduce or diminish his deity. He was God in the flesh. He was all God. Robert Murray M'Cheyne said this: Christ did not gain one perfection more by coming man, nor could he lose anything by he possessed as God. The almightiness of God now moved in human arm. The infinite love of God now beat in human heart. The unbounded compassion of God to sinners now glistened in the human eye. God was love before, but Christ was love now and covered over with flesh. What a statement. No one says it better than John Gill, the old Puritan preacher. Christ remained what he was and became what he was not. Well, that's good. Christ became or remained what he was and became what he was not. The incarnation, according to verse 14, means that God became a man. He was fully man while remaining fully God. And I believe that's where we get Emmanuel, that verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. God with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want you to notice the last thing is this: Jesus is the proclaiming word. If you skip down a few verses there, let's just look at verse 15, talking about John the Baptist. John bare witness of him, cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of the fullness have all we received the grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Boy, I love that. He hath declared him. Hey, we see the proclamation of the Word. He hath declared him. You know what we need to do? We need to declare him. I told Tripp last night, I actually told him in the office just a minute ago. Brother Tripp teaches our college kids. They're on break right now. They'll be back in January. But I said, Tripp, if you've ever taught a lesson, you're teaching it now. You're teaching it now. There's a lot of people that'll talk a lot of talk about how good of a Christian they are, or how much they love the Lord, or how real they are. Then you start looking. And when the fires come and when the tests come, you can't find them. You can't find them. Here's a man that had every reason. A wife of almost 44, should be 44 this Christmas day, 43 years old. Not understanding it. Don't understand. Can't fathom it. I can't put into words. I couldn't say. I felt somewhat like one of Job's friends last night. Just sit there and looked at him. Nothing to say. But here he is this morning. And I said, if there's ever been a time in your life that you have, if there's ever been a time in your life that you've preached a message, you're preaching it now. There's ever been a time where you're going to stand up in front of those kids and tell them, hey, His grace is sufficient. He'll be there for you when you're all alone. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And there, just stand and say, let me just tell you where I've been. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I've not walked in His shoes, nor do I want to. But I know there's one that has. Proclaiming. Oh, yeah. Are we proclaiming Christ? I love that verse in verse 18. He hath declared Him. See, if you go back, just stay with me for just a moment. But look at verse 4. Here's what He proclaimed. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I believe it was to proclaim light. There was darkness before Jesus. There had been 400 years of silence. Think about it. Before the book of Matthew even came in, before the birth of Christ, there was 400 years of total silence, no revelation, no God speaking, no nothing going on. And here burst on the scene John the Baptist, and then Jesus comes in. Hey, the light of the world. Notice verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came from a witness to bear witness of the light. There it is, capital L, light. Who's that light? Jesus. What was John sent to do? He was sent to proclaim the light. Hey, you say, well, preacher, it's an awful dark world out there. Oh, it is. But we have the light. Are we proclaiming the light? The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides us in the darkness. It pokes holes in the darkness. The darker the light, the brighter the light can, darker the night, the brighter the light can shine for Jesus. That's exactly what He's talking about here, because it says He was not that light in verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light, meaning John wasn't the light, but He was the one to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. How in the world did you get saved? The same way I got saved. We seen the light. If you've not seen the light, then my friend, you've not been saved. Your light might have been a little different way than my light, but we saw the light. And when we seen the light, we said, hey, the light revealed our sinful condition and we needed a Savior. He's the light of the world. So to proclaim light, but also this, to proclaim life. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Isn't that sad? He was in the world, but they didn't even realize it. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But I love this. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, have you believed on His name? Boy, I'm thankful that when the Jews, the Israelites said, no, He came into His own, they were still looking for the Messiah. They did not see the light. They were still blinded by their ways and their orthodoxy and their steeped in their traditions. And they did not see Jesus for who He is. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, that's us, the Gentile, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We're adopted. Hey, I thank God that I've been engrafted in to the family of God. Hey, I'm a child of God by the light of the Word of God. Notice this. Which were born not of blood. So blood couldn't do it. No, not wasn't born of blood like a natural birth. That couldn't get us into the family of God. Nor will the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's saying this was not something that you could do on your own. This was something that was born of God. Can I tell you, it's always been about Jesus. The reason that He came was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Where's that power come from? It comes from the proclaiming Word. He proclaimed life. Where does life come from? It comes from God. Jesus. Jesus. My friend listened this morning. It wasn't the message I was going to preach. I just got on thoughts last night. Started thinking about Jesus. Got a little jealous. She's been up there. You talking about a Sunday service? Whew. Singing about Jesus, but she gets to see Him. The light, the Word, the incarnate, the one that came to this earth, the one that died for our sins, she sees Him. The one that I preached about last week, the Lamb of God, she sees Him. She's worshipped Him. Hey, listen. She probably feels sorry for us a little bit down here. We're still in this old sin-cursed earth, and oh, we still got so many problems. And I know that the family misses their mama. She's with Jesus. The more we get over there, the more I'm wanting to go. It's going to be a glad reunion because of Jesus. Boy, it becomes real. All the money you've made, the stuff you've accomplished, means nothing. What matters is who you know. I love this song. Jacob, can you come to the piano? We don't have it, I don't think, but I want you to sing it. Let's sing it together. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Can we sing that? Give me a tune. I want us to sing that this morning because there is something about that name. It brings some comfort. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Think about the words. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven, there it is, and earth proclaim. Let's sing it one more time. Those of you that don't know it, maybe you've got it already. Let's sing it together.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Jesus, like the fragrance
the truth? There's something about that name, the name of Jesus. There's healing in that name. There's peace in that name. Hey, guess what? There's salvation in that name.